are in the school of fish that are in the Indian River in the Mims area, and then the other place that the sail cats are thick are the school of tarpon that's down at Pineda in the Banana River. So there's where your sail cats went to. Buddy, we are unfortunately we're pushed up against our break right now, but how does somebody get a hold of you?
Yeah, I've got days open in October. You can give me a call at area code 386-295-5991. You go right to my website, fatfishguide.com. You can follow me on Instagram, CAPT Mike Mann, and Facebook, Fat Fish Guide Service. Guys, October is a great time to go fishing because there's nobody out.
Yeah, that's a nice thing, isn't it? All right, brother. Well, hopefully your rain jacket holds out for you this morning, and that rain quits sometime real soon so we can get back out there and start catching some fish again.
Thanks, guys. Jimmy, Brian, get out there and catch them up.
Yes, sir.
We'll do that, buddy.
See
Take
you, buddy.
Bye. Hey, gang, we're against our top of the hour break. We're going to take that, and when we come back, Captain Brian Pounds and myself, Jim Ross, have a whole other hour of Catching Memories, and don't go away. Hey, we Floridians love our casual wear because we know how important it is to stay cool while living in this tropical paradise. We wear the best brands like Reef, Mojo, Sperry, and Olokai, and now you can find them all at one really cool place, Go Native. Go Native constantly brings the latest styles to keep you and your kids feeling and looking cool year-round. Go Native is located right next to Ace Hardware in Titusville. Stop by Go Native and live the lifestyle.
Your boat's upholstery looked great when it was new, but over time it gets dingy and stained. Starbright has the perfect combination for your problem. Starbright Ultimate Vinyl Cleaner and Ultimate Vinyl Guard. Starbright's Ultimate Vinyl Cleaner won't dry or fade your vinyl. It has powerful cleaning agents that blast away fish blood, grease, road grime, and more without harmful chemicals that ruin your boat's vinyl. Starbright's Ultimate Vinyl Guard is like a sunblock for your boat's vinyl cushions. It restores moisture and shine to sun-bleached vinyl without being slippery. Plus, it blocks harmful UV rays and helps keep your vinyl cleaner longer. Starbright Ultimate Vinyl Guard is great for plastic, rubber, and leather, too. It's ideal protectant for trucks and cars as well. Use Ultimate Vinyl Guard on your car or truck dashboard, seats, and door panels. Heck, you can even use it on the sidewalls of your truck or trailer tires. Starbright Ultimate Vinyl Guard makes all your stuff look great.
Batten down the hatches. We've got another great hour with Captain Jim Ross and this week's special guest starting right now.
Turn it on up. We love that guitar solo there, right?
Little Motley Crue action.
Little Motley Crue getting it done this morning for 8 o'clock hour. Hey, hopefully you guys and gals have enjoyed the first hour of the show. If you're just joining us here on WWBC 1510 AM, we appreciate you tuning in. And, of course, the WWBC app, catchamemoryoutdoors.com, streaming audio. You can listen to all the podcasts there. So if you miss a show or you want to go back and re-listen to a show, you can check out all the podcasts there on the WWBC Facebook or website. But you get through it by going to catchamemoryoutdoors.com, click on the archived podcast tab, and you can get them. And then, of course, you know, we've got low power frequencies, 99.9, 94.7, 100.7, that's in Brevard County, and, of course, the Facebook. You got to be on the Facebook, right? Got to have the Facebook.
Got to have the Facebook.
Captain Brian Pounds is in with me this morning. For those of you that are just joining the show, we appreciate you tuning in. This segment of the show, once again, is brought to you by Blue Points Marine out at Port Canaveral. If you're looking for a great place to keep a boat, you don't have a place, you live in an HOA community, you can't keep it in your side yard or in your driveway, give Blue Points a call and get them to get you hooked up out there. You know, Brian, we were talking in this first hour, moon phase, super moon, all this kind of stuff going on. You know, it affects everything. I noticed on my game cameras that this week, everything, it was real early, really late, or there was one or two days right in the middle of the daytime. All of a sudden, There's the pigs. There's the deers. There's the raccoons. You know, animals moving in the middle of the day. And
it's 12 to 3 this.
Yeah, yeah. It's sort of a midday type of a thing. And you don't really necessarily think about that a lot of times as fishermen or as hunters. But I know I was looking at the feed this morning. Somebody, I forgot who it was now, was moving their stand because they could hear the turkeys. So they're moving some stands around, you know, that way they can get a better shot, you know, whenever they get the opportunity. But it's one of those things where we as anglers, obviously, we want to try and be on the water whenever the bite is best.
Right.
That's the whole game plan is to catch fish, or to get game. But we have this little thing called afternoon rain showers that aren't so much in the afternoon this week.
They've been all day, every day.
It's crazy. I mean, you wake up and you hear, in the morning, I'm loading the boat and a crack of thunder goes. And I'm like, what? It's not daybreak yet, so you can't really see what's going on. But you hear the crack of thunder.
Even
better,
the lightning flashes off.
You're like, what is going on? My eye twitching, what's going on?
Yep. And it's lightning. Here we go.
Yep.
You know.
So we have to, unfortunately, we have some parameters that we have to work around that don't always allow us to get on the water when we want to be on the water.
Right.
You know, this time of the year, you're not so much worried about the heat. Last month, the month before, it's all about that. It's really
early,
all about,
early,
I
got
to get on the water early because no matter what, the fish are going to shut down due to the heat. But now the water temperature's cooling a little bit. We've still got, you know, it's acting like it wants to be July again. And I'm like, as far as the rain
right.
goes, I'm done with this. Let's get this rain out of here.
Exactly.
We need a good cold front.
We do.
We need a good early. Remember last year we got that early cold front that came in?
Right after Ian came in,
yep.
It dropped down to like 62
yeah.
degrees or something right
and
after,
and blew all the moisture out.
Yes, yes.
That's what we need. We need one. We need a good cold front to come push through here and get all this moisture out of here, and get us back into some more, you know, seasonal type of moisture levels.
Exactly.
Because I mean, your house this morning, how many inches of rain? How many feet of rain have you got at your house this morning?
Gosh, I left this morning. It was raining. You heard Mike?
Mike's right under them. He's under it right now.
Oh my gosh! It's been, and then just lightning. I'm just like, is this really?
Yeah. Daytona, Newsom, Myrtis is getting pounded right now.
We're getting hammered up there right now. We've had 10, 12 inches since what, Monday?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's.
If you got a Starbright bucket sitting out in the yard, the thing's 3/4 full right now.
I'm telling you, actually, you know, it was raining so hard, the Starbright bucket on my bar on the back porch, it's dripping a little bit. You know,
uh-huh.
I'm like, it's dripping on my bar. I'm like, hell, let me. And actually, I went out in the garage and got the Starbright bucket, and it's sitting there catching the water. We always need rain, but we just need a little bit of rain.
You know, if it came in moderation, it would be better.
Exactly.
I know the guys that are gator hunting are going, oh, quit. Would you just quit? Because obviously the fresh water, whenever the water rises in there, the gators just go everywhere.
Exactly.
Makes it harder to get them. Duck hunters are going, yeah, bring it.
Yeah, they love it.
You know,
exactly.
Jeff Kranick is going, yeah, you know, and Blair and the guys that get out there and like to do duck hunting, they love to see the rain in the fall time because they know that it's going to keep the marsh wet.
There's little bitty puddles out there.
Little puddles in the back ends, you know, places where they can get into and hide and, you know, get off the main channel. I tell you, it's been so wet that where my wife keeps her horses, we've got a flock of mottled ducks in the pasture. There's 8 or 10 of them out there. If it was duck season,
that piece of property y'all have up there.
No, not in Oak Hill. This is down in Rockledge where she keeps her horses.
Okay.
And I mean, there's always whistlers and stuff that fly in and out of there. But I mean, there's been a flock of, it's 8 to 10 every single day. Then they're just sitting out in the pasture,
mm-hmm.
you know, just chilling. But it's one of those things where if duck season opens up, I could basically walk out in the pasture and get a limit real quick.
Speaking of getting the limits, have your place up in Oak Hill, have you been seeing a lot of deer?
No.
Jeremy Goodrich killed a nice 9-point, I think, last week.
Did he?
Yeah. He hunts right somewhere in Oak Hill, kind of in that Volco Road?
Yeah.
Yeah, Jeremy, he killed a nice little 9-point.
There's a genetic strain up there that is, there's a very, very good one, because I've, on my camera over the years, I've had one on there that was the real deal.
Mm-hmm.
I've had one buck, I've had two bucks that were good bucks, but I've had one that was, I'm talking, he was an eight, and for a Florida deer, he was probably a hundred. Now he's wild, not fed, not on Deseret, not on Mormon property, not on a private lease out here off of Nova Road. I'm talking about a gallberry, saw palmetto, swamp donkey.
Whoa.
You know, eating gallberries and saw palmettos. I'm not talking about he's getting fed protein out on out on Nova Road, right, out of a protein feeder, and you know, sitting there, you know, waiting, watching his watch, waiting for the feeder to go off so he can get that corn too. Right. You know, I'm not talking about one of those grown deer.
Right.
I'm talking about a wild deer, and he was probably right at 135 inches, 100 maybe 140 inches, and he was nice.
Yeah.
I had him on camera a couple times. Now, that was 2 years ago. Now, opening day, he didn't show up after, I should say that, after the first day of gun season, I never saw that deer again.
Somebody
got him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But he was coming in regularly, you know, he was coming in at night. He wasn't coming in the daytime, but he was coming in at night regularly. I had only had him on camera on daytime, maybe five shots, six shots, photos. Yeah. So somebody got that deer. But there's another deer that's been running around up there in that same area, and that's only, Volko's only a mile and a half from our property.
Right.
So that deer's roaming, you know. So that deer bred and has had offspring. And one of the deer was hanging on the property the first 3 years. He was a button buck the first year. He was a little spindly spike the next year. The third year, he bloomed up and he grew into a pretty solid 7 point in year three. But you could tell it was the same genetics. His antler structure and everything was almost identical to that bigger deer.
Right.
And the one thing that was interesting about him, his G2s were pretty good. The G3 on his right beam was monstrous. His G3 was bigger than his G2. And so it's a very unique genetic structure whenever you start looking at antlers. Right. And so he was very, very noticeable. Well, the same thing happened with this baby in year three. When he blew up, he had a split brow tine on his left side, which the other deer did not have.
Mm.
But on that right side, his G3 was bladed, just like his dad's was, bladed and longer than his G2.
Split brow.
Yeah. So he was, but I have not seen him this year at all on camera. Now, I know between ages 3 and 4, bucks start to venture around and start moving around, because he was a homebody. He was hitting the feeder 3 times a day, you know. He'd hit it in the morning, and then he'd come back at noon just to check and make sure he didn't miss something, and then he'd be there when it was going off in the afternoon. But this year, we've got hogs in there, and unfortunately, I haven't been doing a very good job of going up there and taking care of them. And they basically run the deer out of the property.
And tear your property up.
And rip it up. So
I remember, I'm trying to think. I haven't hunted in so long. It's been several years. You know, I've killed my deer just fishing in the wintertime. But was it 20 miles, 25 miles a day that a buck deer can travel?
Oh, yeah.
On average.
They can make some time. Yeah.
So it's just trying to catch them all in that. I don't know what the...
It would be interesting for me. I'm gonna go back up this weekend and check cameras again. But it'll be interesting to me to see if I get that midday push again. You know,
especially with the moon right now.
Yeah. Especially the last 2 days. Because the other day when I was up there, there was a couple of does that were coming out in the middle of the day, but the bucks will come out in the. I mean, it'll be 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and you'll see a buck come strolling past the camera. And after the day, you know, like the day of or a couple of days after the full moon. And so if you can time them like that, and you know that one of those days, and if it happens to coincide with the day that I'm not on the water where I can get there, a noon sit, noon to two sit isn't a bad idea. Take your peanut butter and jelly.
Road from you.
Yeah, take your peanut butter and jelly sandwich and, you know, go sit in the ground blind or get up in the tree stand.
Right.
And, you know, just sit around and just see what happens. You know. if nothing else, I'd take my 22 Magnum up there and just get rid of some of the raccoons, because they feel like they need to get up. They're the feeder I have now, they can't really get to it, but they try.
Mm-hmm.
They sit there for hours trying to dig a kernel of corn out of that thing, you know? They're just...
Just go up there and grease the cable.
Yeah. Well, the one that I've got is on
like a
legs.
Tripod.
It's actually feeder. Got four legs to it.
Okay.
And it's a metal feeder, but the way that it's made, they can't reach their hand all the way in and hit the spinner.
Right.
Because on ones that they can get to the spinner, they'll spin that thing all
day.
All day. They'll spin every kernel of corn out of it. Yeah.
It's empty.
Yep. And then the hogs come back and the deer come back at night and they're like, well, where's all the corn?
Yep.
Ask that fat raccoon over there.
I see them do that. They just sit there and spin it. It's insane. It's insane how they're smarter than you think, you know.
Yep. I had one that a bear pulled down when we were up in Sam Sula.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, real quick, he was climbing the tree, right? I had it in the tree off a branch. Well, he got that. Okay. Mm-hmm. So then I hung it between two pine trees on a rope. So we put a pulley system, like a block and tackle in the middle, and tied off to this pine tree on this side and that pine tree on that side, and then ran the rope up, you know, up through the pulley, mm-hmm. and then down, and then tied it off. I just put a cleat, like a dock cleat.
Right.
Into one of the trees, and I just tied it off. Well, he would climb up the one tree, and then you could see, I got him on the game camera, hand over hand,
going out
on the rope, you know, hanging on the rope,
really?
till he gets to the feeder.
In the circus.
And then he would fall down all the time. He couldn't hold on to the feeder very good.
Oh.
But he tried and tried and tried, and so then he'd climb the other tree. And both of those trees, he had peeled the bark clean off of both of those pine trees. They look slick. They look like a palm almost, you know?
That's funny.
But finally one day, he figured out, well, if I just chew through the rope. So what he did was he climbed up, and he started chewing on the rope, and he chewed the rope in half, and then the feeder came down and, you know, swung down, and then he could reach it from the ground. Yeah, exactly. It was all over with. He tore it up. He ate everything but the daggum battery. And he tried to eat that, you know? He had teeth marks all in it. I'm like, good grief, you know? I mean, he was mad about it. He was just mad about it.
Yeah. Man. Eat a battery, you're mad.
But yeah, that was the end of that feeder. He, he destroyed that thing. But they're some, you know, smarter than the average bear. Right?
Exactly.
You know the
exactly.
Same. Well, anyway, we're going to take our next break, gang. And when we come back, we got a whole lot more with Captain Brian Pounds and myself, Jim Ross. And don't go away.
Greasy smears, fish blood, dirty footprints, and spilled food all create a mess on your boat's deck. Here's a fast and easy solution to clean them. Starbrite Ultimate Extreme Clean. Just spray it on the spot, hit it with a deck brush, and rinse it off. Dirty vinyl cushions, greasy drips around your outboard, even those suspicious stains your fishing buddy always seems to leave behind, don't stand a chance when you squirt a little Ultimate Extreme Clean on them. Starbrite Ultimate Extreme Clean works great to clean your grill, and around the house. You can use it on your truck or lawnmower. It gets greasy stains out of clothing too. Just spray it on any greasy spot, give it a light rub, and they'll look like new again. Make sure you pick up some Starbrite Ultimate Extreme Clean and lose those greasy stains today. Hey guys and gals, welcome back. We appreciate you tuning in every Saturday right here to Catch the Memory Outdoors. This segment of the show is brought to us by Petrucci Insurance. So, you know, you've heard me say it before. I'm going to say it again. Give Petrucci a call and see what they can do for you. The guys at Petrucci Insurance, guys and gals at Petrucci Insurance, can shop around, get you the best deal out there to cover whatever it is that you need to cover, whether it's your boat, whether it's your home, whether it's your car. Give them a shout. Make sure you're not paying too much. Here's the mistake that I made, right? And we all do this. We're like, okay, I'm a longtime customer with my, you know, with my company, so I ought to be getting the best rate. Well, not necessarily.
Not necessarily.
You know, because what they'll do is they'll give you a low rate, and then next year they'll give you a little higher rate, next year a little higher rate, and then year three, four, and five, all of a sudden the increments start getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and pretty soon you're paying way too much for what you're getting covered for compared to what you can find at another company. So let Petrucci do that. Let them shop it around. They will all work with A-plus rated companies, and make sure that you're not overcovered, undercovered, and not paying too much for what you're getting. That's for sure. So 321-632-1200. That's 632-1200. Tell them you heard about it here on Catch Your Memory Outdoors. But make sure whatever you do, the insurance company is not your friend. Okay? They're not. They are not in it for you. They're in it for them. So call Petrucci Insurance. They're an independent agent. Let them shop around and find who's going to give you the best deal. That's what they do. 321-632-1200. Call them Monday morning before another named storm starts popping up in the Atlantic again, exactly. Right? You know, speaking of named storms, a year ago, you were tearing drywall out, Brian.
That was something else. My wife and I, Amy and I, were talking about it the other day, and she just...
So did your house, like Mike Mann's house, flooded? I mean, he had water come
up. About a foot and a half.
Inside the house. Mm-hmm. In New Smyrna, Edgewater area.
Yep.
You wouldn't even, I mean, who would have thought?
But, you know, in our neighborhood, the canals, there's a series of lakes, and then it empties out into the lagoon. And we had a 5-6 foot storm surge. That water wasn't
holding all the water back. Yeah.
And I got up about 5:30 and just kind of looked out the window, and I'm like, is this for real? And the girls were asleep, and I said, y'all need to get up right now.
Yeah.
And of course they said, why? Well, you'll see.
We're going to get ready to get in the boat and ride down the road.
Amy got up, and Shelby got up. And Shelby goes, I don't need to see anything. No, you need to see this. And she's like, here we go.
That ain't good. Yeah. So you're in Edgewater?
Edgewater.
Okay, so Edgewater proper. And the storm surge up there, like Larry Calderon is a friend of mine, and he lives right on a canal right in Oak Hill, just a little north of Indian Mound Fish Camp. So he lives there. His mother lives there as well. He was saying the water came over the seawall and almost into the house.
Yeah.
It came that high. Like you say, five foot higher than what it normally would be.
Yeah.
Well, tore up the dock and everything.
Yep. A lot of the docks in like Oak Hill, Edgewater, they have, especially in Oak Hill, they have, you know, it's real deep on those canals.
Yeah, yeah.
And a lot of them have boathouses that drop down, and they flooded. It was unreal. Docks twisted.
You don't understand the force that water has until you see what it does. Like my cousin and her husband, Lila and Chris, they live up in Daytona. Their dock was just destroyed, you know, absolutely destroyed.
Yeah. Big water.
And they're way up in the river, and they're on the beach side. They're not even on. It's like when you think of the hurricane coming through, the wind's coming from east to west normally.
Mm-hmm.
They're on the east side, and it still got destroyed.
Yeah, it was. I've never seen anything. 49 years I've been in Florida.
Yeah.
My life. I've never, you know, it's just, you can panic after it happens, you know.
But you got to jump into action.
Figure it out. Yeah, it was kind of, I just look back now, I'm like, God, knock on wood. I hope I don't ever have to go through something like that again. And then look at the West Coast. You know, friends of mine, Mario, a lot of guys that guide over there.
Crystal River and Home Assassin.
When I saw what had happened, and, you know, everybody, you know, the thing is, it's like, I hope everything's going to be okay. We should be okay. We should be okay. We should be okay. And when I was talking to Mario, he's like, they left. They went to Ocala.
Yeah.
Him and Lindsay came back, and the neighbor next door, I think, had cameras in his house where he can kind of look. He was gone. And I saw what the pictures, Ma, I was like, I feel your pain because I know what you're getting ready to deal with.
Yeah. And Gary Bartell over at Ozello Keys Marina, same way. Okay. I mean, they had 5-6 foot of water in that place, you know? And he had just kind of remodeled that not too long ago.
We were there not long ago.
And
went scalping.
Yeah.
Yeah, and what
they
a
really
fantastic.
Did a nice job.
They did.
Yep. What's really neat, I thought, of that whole place was the sink in the bathroom. Did you see how it turns on and that blue light starts buzzing?
Yep.
I thought, I said, I got to get one of those in the house. That was really cool.
But they had, you know, this time last year, we stayed over there for my birthday mm-hmm. for a couple of days, and they had just redone that cabin, you know, little cabin that we rented from them and everything. And I'm thinking to myself, man, that all that work that they just did, and it's going to have salt water running. They're going to be pulling catfish out of the cupboards, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it just...
It's horrible. It's just... You know, oh well. Kind of get choked up thinking about it sometimes, everything we dealt with.
Because on a regular basis, you and I, hey, we're high and dry. You know, I look at my house in Rockledge. Oh, I'm high and dry. I got nothing to worry about. And yet, in 2018, the water came up so high, it almost came in my house. I mean, it came up four or five feet.
Right,
I got a retention pond back there, but the retention pond overflowed, mm-hmm. and the retention pond in the street became one.
One.
The water, you know.
Got to go somewhere.
Yeah.
You know?
It just wasn't able to get out fast enough.
Enough.
And so I came within about one inch on my steps. So from the slab of my house, come down the step to the mm-hmm. front patio and back patio, the water line was 1 inch below coming into the threshold and flooding the house. I was that close. And people are like, you know, why do you have flood insurance? Well, I pay for flood insurance every single year just in case. I look at it and, you know, I look at the money that I spend on that and I go, you know what? If I didn't spend, it's less than $1,000 a year because I'm in a flood zone X, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's not much, but it's like, if I didn't spend that money and then I get flooded. My regular insurance isn't going to cover it. Regular home insurance doesn't cover rising water. It only covers, you know, water coming down, not water coming up. So without flood insurance, you got nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So once again, that's another good reason to call Patricia, is make sure that you're covered properly, you know. But, we don't think about that living where we live because, I'm so far away from the ocean, the river, the whatever. But what we don't think about is all of that water that's supposed to be channelized and running out. Mm-hmm. If it gets backed up, where's it going?
Well, that and all
right in the living room.
The new building... houses, everything that's going around this, your water once would go, now water doesn't.
Well, here, and that's the other thing. It used to be 3-4 feet lower than your property. Now it's 2 or 3 feet higher than your property.
Right.
So now where you were the high spot, you're no longer the high spot. They're the high spot, and it's running to you now.
All downhill.
Yeah.
All downhill.
Things to think about.
Yes.
Hey, you know what? We got about a minute before we go to break here. Let's do something real quick. Starbright Cleaning Solutions segment, right?
Awesome stuff.
All right. So before we go into it, what is the one Starbright product that you can't live without?
The deck cleaner. Non-skid deck cleaner is the best stuff on this planet, yeah. In my opinion. I can spray the boat, put a little bit of water on my brush, just a little bit. You can scrub the whole non-skid of your boat and eat off of it when you're done.
Yeah,
it's awesome.
Yeah, it cleans it good. Stuff. One of the things that I like, because this time of the year, we start getting a lot more of that rainwater we talked about, and so we start getting more tannin run off into the lagoon systems, and your hull starts getting a little stain to it.
Yep.
So the hull cleaner, and I like this gel formula hull cleaner, because it's, if you just squirt it onto your deck brush, the regular cleaner is a little thin, mm-hmm. and it'll drip off, and so I don't feel like you waste some of it.
Right.
So I get this hull cleaner with the gel formula, and you spray it on the deck brush, and all you got to do, don't wet your boat first. Just go down it dry, and wash it within 30 seconds. It goes, it takes all that stain out.
I started spraying it on a brush because I used to have the other products I would spray on the hull.
On the hull, yep.
And then you'd have drip mark. You could see where it wasn't.
That's